It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Across the world, thousands of species of insects contribute to people's diets. Some are delicacies, and we discuss insects as protein and whether you're on board. Call in with questions and comments on eating bugs, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. We have May Walraven, general manager of biotech firm InnovaFeed North America, based in France. This is an insect producer for animal and plant nutrition with construction of a black soldier fly production facility underway in Decatur, Illinois. May, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Hi, Kate. Thank you for having me.
We also have Valerie Stoll with us, a UW-Madison faculty associate and research scientist, president of MITI, which stands for Mission to Improve Global Health Through Innovation. Valerie, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm excited we're covering this topic.
Yes, indeed. And Valerie, let's dig in right away. You've studied the consumption of insects in Zambia and other countries. Is there more of an appeal for bugs in other parts of the world compared to eating them here in the States?
Well, certainly. I mean, food culture runs deep, and we are all most prone to like and eat the things we grew up eating. And insects are a part of traditional cuisines and diets around the world. About 2 billion people live in places where insects are consumed by at least some group of the population. And that's just not the case in American cuisine, but I do think trends can change, and trends can change quickly. And as our other guest knows, insects may really enter the American diet through the feed avenue, but they are certainly an important part of the diet across the globe. And if we're having an adverse response, it's just a bias that we have based on what we're used to.
I do want to just probe a little bit more here, because you mentioned, you know, how much food has such a role in cultural and social identity. I think of the all-American hot dog, for instance, goes with, you know, baseball and cookouts and apple pie. You know, what associations do you think that we make with insects here in the West?
Yeah, I certainly think there's this ick factor that a lot of Americans in particular have when it comes to thinking about insects as food. And part of that is justified. I mean, we know that some insects are vectors of disease and they do appear on things that are rotting or infected. But in reality, the majority of insects and thousands of species that are known to be edible and have been documented are totally healthy and beneficial for people to be eating. But we do have to overcome that initial response that we may have. But if you think about food traditions, I mean, I didn't grow up eating frog legs, so that disgusts me. For some people, a lobster is also not very appealing. But for others, it's a delicacy and something that you absolutely want on your plate. So part of it is exposure, you know, just being exposed to more food types and insects and learning to think about them differently, which takes time and experience.
And May, your company, InnovaFeed, based in Paris, is building this insect production facility in Illinois. Marketing for black soldier fly is you know, fisheries and aquaculture. Is that a better avenue for you rather than human consumption? Why operate in the U.S.?
So the reason we're operating in the U.S. is because there's a lot of byproducts from the agricultural industry which we can use to feed our insects. And for us, the whole purpose of growing insects and reinserting them into food chains is because they're kind of nature's super upcycler. And so we can use a lot of byproducts that are considered waste and feed our insects to then generate very high quality nutrients, so very high quality protein, but also natural oils, and then feed them to animals, into aquaculture, into swine, poultry, livestock, and create a more sustainable food chain for tomorrow. So for us, the U.S. is very interesting from a production perspective. And then we think we'll be addressing a global market when it comes to animal nutrition, because we will be facing protein deficiencies in the future. The FAO has announced that by 2050, we'll be facing a 30 to 40 million protein deficiency. So these are the challenges that we're trying to tackle.
I wonder, in these animal feed products, May, is the insect protein supplementing other protein in the products, or is it replacing or taking the place of another protein that was found in the products?
Well, yes and no.
Okay.
If we take the example of aquaculture, for instance, we feed salmon, we feed shrimp with insect protein, and you could say that we're replacing fish meal, which is basically fish powder. They use wild caught fish, so a lot of small fish that are caught off the coast of Peru, of Chile, and then they use that fish to feed larger fish that we like to see on our table. The problem with that is that the fisheries at this stage are pretty much emptying the oceans of the smaller fish, and hence you see entire ecosystems that are collapsing. So with insect protein, we can replace that marine resource and avoid a lot of those that impact from fisheries. However, if you look at the growth of aquaculture today, it's growing at a 6 to 7% rate globally. And so really, at the moment, we're more sponsoring the growth than fully replacing fish meal. But we know we'll always need some part of fish meal. So it's a way to protect marine resources in the future as we need to produce more food for a growing population.
May Walraven with us, General Manager of Innova Feed North America. We have Valerie Stull with us as President of the Mission to Improve Global Health Through Innovation, talking about insects as food for people, animals, in aquaculture. You can join along the way here, 800-642-1234. Jeanette calling from Warren, Illinois. Hi, Jeanette. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning. I'd just like to let folks know that we go after the invasive Japanese beetles that are on our plants. They're not the ones that look like ladybugs. They're the ones that are shiny, burgundy, with five white spots on their abdomen. And since their natural response to us trying to catch them is to fall off the grapes or the raspberries, we take a simple funnel and a Gatorade bottle or something like that, hold that underneath and tap the leaves. The insects fall into those. And we will either pop them into the refrigerator for a little while to slow them down or stun them. And then when we want to make use of them, we take them out, shake the bottle as we're headed there. The rattling sound of the insects that are still quite alive, but slower, attracts our chickens. And we've got about 10 hens. Our chickens come running because they know that they're getting a treat, just like some of the garden scraps. They come running. And since they're 40% protein, we're getting rid of an invasive pest. And our chickens are getting some extra food that they love.
Oh, Jeanette, thank you for walking us through this life cycle of what you do there. I want both of you, May and Valerie, here to comment on that. Valerie, you first.
Oh, that's fantastic. I love these stories and these anecdotes of how people are thinking about insects differently. And insects are a natural part of a chicken's diet. So I'm not surprised that your chickens are very excited about that. And it's pretty innovative that you were able to collect them in that way. I will say that Japanese beetles and many beetles are also edible. And in other parts of the world, people do consume them or the larvae of the beetles as a really great source of protein and fatty acids. So it's great to see them used here for chickens. That's fantastic.
May, what are your insights on the Japanese beetle as chicken treats?
Well, I think, thank you, Jeanette, for this this story, because I think it illustrates so perfectly how insects introduce circularity. So you're taking basically what was a problem with the invasive Japanese beetle species and turning it into a solution where you're bringing treats to your chicken. So I think it's such a perfect way to illustrate why insects have a pivotal role in the food chain and why it makes sense to reintroduce them into our own food chains. And it is such a natural source of incredible nutrients that at the moment we're kind of bypassing into our diets, and you see it from the chickens' reaction. They love it.
May Walraven is with a biotech insect producer that's building an insect protein farm in Illinois. Valerie Stull is a UW-Madison research scientist studying the impacts of eating and farming insects across the world. Call in with your questions and comments about insect agriculture, raising bugs for people to eat in particular, 800-642-1234. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine the global market for insect protein and the effects on sustainable food systems. Call in with your questions and comments about healthy bugs to eat, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. May Walraven is here with the insect protein biotech firm InnovaFeed North America, and Valerie Stull, president of the research collaborative MITEI that works on issues related to nutritional and environmental benefits of insect consumption. Let's take another call, Tom in Burlington. Hi, Tom. What would you like to bring up?
I recently discovered that you are supposed to have older people need 80 grams of protein a day, plus exercise to keep your muscle mass from deteriorating and to keep from falling.
Take another call, Tom.
Oh, I'm sorry. Tom, I think I hear an echo in the background. Valerie, I'm wondering, I think I hear what Tom is getting at, that, you know, as older people are needing more protein, can insect protein help in that respect?
Absolutely. I mean, insects are an exceptional source of bioavailable protein, meaning that it's protein that your body can easily digest. It's comparable to protein from other animal sources like beef or eggs or chicken. If you use a dried or powdered cricket protein powder, for example, you can get about 13 grams of protein in just 2 tablespoons, which you could add to your bread or your smoothies in the morning. And it's going to have all the essential amino acids that you need for human nutrition, those that you have to get in your diet and your body can't synthesize. So insect protein is a really great option for supplementing protein or supplanting other sources of protein in the diet, particularly because of its nutritional quality as well as the environmental benefits that we've been talking about in terms of insects being a great recycling mechanism in our food system. And also, they simply are more efficient at converting food into feed than conventional animal sources, and they emit fewer greenhouse gases in the process of being farmed.
Can you talk a bit more about the uptake there on things like in the form of powder or in the form of protein bars or cricket flour, for instance?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a number of new companies across North America and the world, Europe and Asia, that are producing insect-based food products. So one that's become kind of popular is the cricket powder. So essentially a cricket flour or a high protein powder that you could put into anything that you're baking or a smoothie. You use it the same way you would use soy powder or soy protein or whey protein. And that's a really easy way to integrate insects into the diet if you're a little bit squeamish about facing the insect. And we in this field kind of joke that crickets are the gateway bug instead of the gateway drug. because they're an insect we're familiar with. We aren't as disgusted by them as we may be some other insects. We're comfortable with the idea of eating them as opposed to, you know, a ladybug that we might really love in a different way. So they help people, you know, get exposed to insects. And the powder, you know, I got my 7-year-old mom to eat muffins with cricket powder in it. It took a couple years to talk her into it, but now she's an avid consumer. And so that's a really easy way, you know, if you're not comfortable eating whole insects and facing the insect. But I will say that, you know, fresh insects prepared in culturally traditional ways are delicious. You know, there's these grasshoppers in Mexico called chapulines that are spiced, and you often can eat them warm, and they're kind of a street food with a chili lime flavor, and they're really good. here in the U.S., we mostly have access to dried insects. And it's really the difference between beef jerky and a steak sirloin, you know, like a dried product is really quite different. So I always encourage people that when they travel to a place where there is a strong culture of eating insects to try those traditional dishes, because it's just a really different experience.
I just want to get back to May here for a moment. I mean, we're talking here about crickets being a gateway. What insects have you explored eating, and what was your reaction, May?
So we have focused on growing at one specific species of insect, which is called the black soldier fly. And we picked this species both for its nutritional profile, so very rich in protein, but also very balanced protein profile. And also it has a lot of micronutrients that have health benefits that are antioxidant and antimicrobial. But we also picked it because it was very efficient to produce this specific species. More so, for instance, than crickets. I completely agree with Valerie on the gateway insect, because we are more familiar with crickets. But if we think of the future, there might be other species that are more efficient and sustainable to produce. So we've been using this black soldier fly for 6 years now and producing it at a very large scale. And we've tried it in several recipes. So we focused on three applications: protein bar, falafels, and snacks. And I liked the comment from Tom around how can we use it as a supplement, because I think in the United States, people have a very good education on nutritional food value. And so they think about calories, they think about what the food is going to bring to them. And I think this will be a great way to introduce insect into people's diets, because you won't only look at it from a taste perspective, but also what is this additional ingredient going to bring to me in terms of health, in terms of nutritional value. And so that's something we're working on as we build different recipes, including insect, which is, first of all, it needs to taste delicious, because no one wants to eat something yucky. But also, how do you make it kind of a superfood?
Can you go into a little bit further, May, as you produce black soldier flies, how is that process? How do you produce and harvest them? Can you give us some insight?
Absolutely. So as I said, we use byproduct of the agricultural industry. So here in the US, we'll use byproducts from the corn industry, and we co-locate our facilities with large corn mills. So in Decatur, we're partnering with ADM and using the byproducts from their process. These are completely natural products, but they will usually be considered as a waste stream. And so we can upcycle that waste stream. Our larvae feed on this feedstock for about a week. So it's a very short life cycle. And in that time span, they grow very fast, from, if you take the human equivalent, the size of a newborn to the size of a blue whale. So that's how fast they grow.
Wow.
And after a week, we'll harvest them, and our process is fully mechanical. So what we do is we dry them, and then we separate the protein part from the oil part, and we sell those as two separate ingredients that can go into different recipes, either for animal nutrition or for human nutrition. So it's a very short cycle and a very natural one. The challenge is really being able to do it at a very large scale if we want to have an impact on the environment and be able to become a mainstream ingredient.
Valerie, how might harvests work in other parts of the world?
Yeah, so about 92% or more of insects consumed by people around the world are collected from the wild. So people are foraging them and wild harvesting. And I've seen really innovative ways to do this. If you're collecting flying termites, for example, in Africa below the Sahara, you might hold up a light at night and the insects will swarm to your light and hit it and then fall into a bucket of water that you have set up. So you're collecting them in buckets of water overnight. With caterpillars, people are collecting them from trees by hand and then processing them and often sun drying them or roasting them in dry ash. And they're typically available during certain seasons. So you'll have seasons of abundance in terms of the collection and harvesting of wild insects around the world. But I do want to note that there is certainly in small-scale insect farming for human consumption around the world as well. In Thailand, I think there's more than 20,000 cricket farmers who do small-scale cricket farming for sale into local food markets for human consumption, kind of using very rudimentary farming equipment, buckets, bins built from wood or plastic or concrete, and kind of farming them also with short life cycles the way not as black soldier fly, but short life cycles and, you know, innovative mechanisms for farming and collecting them.
Thank you both for joining us.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for the invitation. It was a great discussion.
Valerie Stoll, faculty associate, UW-Madison, with Mighty May Walraven, general manager of InnovaFeed North America. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.